Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you need a message outline, would you raise your hands? If you didn't get one as you came in the door, an usher will serve you this morning. Just keep your hands up. There is an outline you can follow along. Possessing your soul. We're going to continue our soul care series this morning. We're so thankful Jesus walks with us and talks with us. Amen. And that we belong to Him. And He's our Father. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit today, Lord, as we read your word and as we study together. Lord, I thank you for the renewing of our minds, for the healing of our souls, for the healing of our bodies. Thank you, Lord, for the healing of our bodies today. Thank you, Lord, for what you want to do today in our hearts. And Lord, we just position ourselves before your throne, oh God. Teach us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ezekiel 18:4, the scripture says, "For every living soul belongs to me." So every soul that comes into this world belongs to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let's read this verse together. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, spirit, soul, and body. Be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." Now the God of peace himself sanctifies us completely. And he is concerned about the whole person. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. And over the years of being a minister and being a counselor, a biblical counselor, I found that so many times people don't consider going to God regarding their body. Like Elder Jim did. He put God first when he needed this surgery. He asked the church to pray. But so many times they like just run to the doctor with their body. And then they'll go to a psychiatrist to take care of their soul. And then they'll bring their, you know, their spirit to church. They'll allow God to minister to their spirit. But God is concerned about the whole person. He wants all of us. He doesn't want us to be divided. He wants all of us, body, soul, and spirit, because he is the God of peace himself. He is going to bring peace into your body, to heal your body, to restore every cell of your body, every muscle, ligament, tendon, and nerve. He will restore that, as well as heal the hurts and wounds that are in your soul. Only he can help you break those habits that you've gotten hooked into. And he is the only one that can touch your spirit. Our spirits are born again by the Spirit of the living God. Until that time, our spirit man is in darkness. And the scripture says the God of this world blinds us. And so people walk around blind to the healing power of Jesus Christ and blind to the spiritual power and the resurrection life of Jesus Christ until they come to Jesus. Everybody has to have a come to Jesus meeting. Amen. And usually we get more than one meeting, right? Jesus continues to give us a come to Jesus meeting over and over again. But that first initial, "Yes, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins." Sin separates us from our Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ came to bridge that gap. So when we receive Him, we receive the Father. And the scripture says that He preserves us blameless at the coming of our Lord. And He who calls you is faithful. And He'll do it. Tell your neighbor He's going to do it. Tell him He's doing it right now. So last week we talked about the body, soul, and spirit. Our body is the natural aspect of us that has the five senses. Our sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. Our appetite. That's our body. It's the physical part. And you know what? It's one of the greatest gifts we could ever have. If we don't have a body, we don't have any place to stay. So we should treasure and thank God for our bodies. And take care of our bodies. And be more considerate when we put something in our mouth. Think about what it will do to our bodies, which are a gift to us and the temple of the Holy Spirit. All right, we'll go on. But we do need to exercise our body. We need to stretch our body. And we need to give our body some rest. For those of you who don't put aside the time to rest and work into the late hours, I'm sure there's no one here like that. And then we have our spirit man that lives on the inside of us. Hallelujah. So this morning, that was just a little review. We're going on and look at possessing our soul. And in Luke 21:19, the scripture says, in your patience, possess your souls. And so patience is to keep control over. Our patience is to endure, consistency, continuous, and waiting, and possess is to keep control over and to maintain. So the attitude is to be, I'm going to stick with this Christ life. I'm not going to throw in the towel when things get tough. I'm going to stick with it. And I looked in the Message Bible, and the Message Bible says, staying with it. That's what is required. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry. You'll be saved. So it's a matter of sticking with it. Because when we become impatient, we can miss the blessing of God. We've got to hold out for the blessing. And there is a purpose in our lives for the struggling and the wrestling that goes on in our souls. We often wrestle with our will and with God's will. Anybody had a few wrestling matches with God? Woohoo! Probably this week, because that's how it works. I mean, we can all think of struggles that we have in our life where we wrestle with God. And those are the times that the Holy Spirit begins to convict us. Remember, the Holy Spirit does not condemn you. Often we get so stuck in the condemnation. Condemnation comes from ourselves. Comes from our thoughts. The enemy can inspire that. However, you cannot blame everything on the devil. Come on. We are usually our own worst enemy. What goes on in our heads about ourselves. We can condemn ourselves over and over again. But remember the condemnation. The scripture says there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so that is part of learning to possess your soul. You know the word of God says there's no condemnation, but you're feeling condemned about something. And so first of all, we always ask God to search our heart, because maybe there is a sin in our life that we need to repent of. Because the scripture says that we are to submit ourselves unto God and to resist the devil, and he will flee. So if something is still going on in your soul, rolling around in your mind, then it's you. It's not the devil. You've submitted yourself to God, but you're still struggling with these thoughts and condemning yourself for something that happened or you didn't do. I should have. Has anybody ever thought that? After situations all done, I should have. And it just goes on and on in your mind, and it can torment you. So those are the things we have to deal with to bring our soul, to possess our soul. When the scripture says there's no condemnation, then that's the truth. And doesn't the scripture say the truth will set you free? And so we renounce the lie and accept the truth. And sometimes, tell your neighbor, you might have to do that more than once. Because those thoughts come back into our minds. Have you ever had that? I've literally sat there and said out loud, I am not going to think about that. I refuse to think about that. This is not the truth. You know, and I'm sure my dogs wonder who I'm talking to. The girls used to look at me and go, what? But you know, you can have this whole conversation going on in your head, and sometimes you just got to get it out into the air. Otherwise, it just keeps rolling around in there. And the only way to stop that is start to talk out loud and speak God's truth out into the atmosphere. We can decree and declare God's truth. Because when you decree and declare a thing, it is established. You know, and when we cry out to God for help with our soul, remember, he wants to sanctify our soul. He wants to bring peace into our lives. He's the God of peace. He's a Father of peace. His government is peace. Peace is upon, the government's on his shoulder, and he's a, his government is peace. So he's the Prince of peace. Think about this. He is peace. And so when we're in conflict, when we're in mental turmoil, we need the help of the Prince of Peace to come into our situation and begin to talk to us, because he walks with us and he talks with us. If we will sit still a minute and wait on the Lord to share with us. We wait on the Lord. We wait. That doesn't mean we go, But we let him know, Lord, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. And you know, it's so important to have a waiting place. It's like having a prayer closet, a secret place. Where do you meet with God? Where do you go when you want to meet with God? How important is that relationship to us? Do we have a place that we, that God knows that's our place? He's a God of relationship. When we say, God, this is the place I'm meeting with you. This is the time I'm setting aside to meet with you. We're making meeting with God a priority. We're making that relationship a priority. And I'm not getting into anyone's business here, but just as I was sharing that, I'm thinking about relationships need to be a priority. Because having a relationship means that you are connecting one-on-one. If you're not connecting one-on-one face-to-face, then your relationship is a casual relationship just in passing. And husbands and wives can live this way, just in passing. And we take each other for granted. All right, now I know I'm getting into someone's stuff. But we do. We take each other for granted because we think someone is always going to be there. You know, we have a friend of the church. His name is John Levy, and he owned Wintergreen Computers. And just such a kind, gentle soul. And whenever we've had any kind of computer problems, John is here the very same day. And he will pick up the computer, take it to his shop, and make sure it's right if he can't fix it right here on the spot. He has given us such service. He has really spoiled us. But I just felt like God sent him to bless us. And just such a kind man. But anyway, last Tuesday, he was involved in a car. It was Monday, last Monday, involved in a car accident at 6:15 p.m. And he was driving out on Old U.S. 33 near County Road 3. And in his car, he was slowing down. And the Jeep behind him was going too fast, following too close, and was not able to stop without hitting him. When he hit him, he threw him over into oncoming traffic, and an SUV hit him head on and killed him instantly. And I read the report after I got home from the MLK. I was just reading through my news headlines, and I saw his name, and I thought, that can't be our John Levy. There's other John Levys, I'm sure. And so the next morning, I sent a text to John, no answer. And normally John would answer a text at 6 o'clock in the morning. He was always on the job. And so I text one of his techs that worked for him, and I said, please tell me that was not our John Levy that got killed last night. And he said, I'm really sorry, but I'm 95% sure that it is, but I'll let you know when I get into work. And so when he got into work, and John wasn't there, but the man who owns the building was there, and sent them home with the news that that was John Levy. So just like that, his wife of 41 years, husband gone. Gone. He was just too young to pass from this earth so quickly in that way. And so, you know, I had to wrestle with all of those things that go on when you lose someone that you love, you know, arguing with God, why did you take him like that? But that, it had to be his time, right? We have to trust God's judgment in that it was time for John to go on home. But we're never ready to let people go. And we always think someone should have stayed longer. Is that true? It's not just me, right? It's like, but John crossed over into eternity in an instant without suffering and laying on a deathbed. He was just gone. And my brother Ed has told me many times, don't cry for me if I get T-boned by a car and get killed instantly, because that's the best way to go. And he's a respiratory therapist and he works with dying people. So in that way, I rejoice that John didn't suffer and he went on home. But we are going to miss him at River of Life. He was such a blessing to us. And many people here I know has used his business before. And he was just a kind, gentle soul. But you know what? God has someone else that's going to help us with our computer problems when they come up. Amen? Because God supplies all of our needs. He knows what we have need of. And John set the bar up here for computer help. Hallelujah. So we are talking about possessing our soul not taking people for granted, not taking relationships for granted, especially our relationship with God. If we are going to survive in this season of time, we need to be close to the Lord, to hear His voice. And we need that regardless of what's going on in our life. The Word of God is life to my soul. It's the bread that we eat. And usually until we usually don't think too much about that until we have a problem. Often we don't think about the importance of a relationship until somebody gets really sick. And then all of a sudden we're realizing how important that relationship is to us, and we try to make up lost time. But we often don't realize how serious things are. And when we do, there's like this awakening in us. It awakens our soul. We begin to realize the importance. And I was thinking about the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son had not learned to possess his soul. He was impatient and he wanted his inheritance now. He was the younger son and he wanted his inheritance from his dad right away. He didn't want to wait on it. And so his dad said, sure, he would give him his inheritance. And so he took it. But the young man didn't have the wisdom how to use that inheritance. And the scripture says that he spent it on living a riotous life. And so he went out, had a good time, lived high on the, what would we say, high on the hog? Which is kind of interesting because he ended up feeding the hogs. But when he didn't have any money left, all his friends left him. You know, when you got a lot of money, people like to hang out with you. But you find out who your friends really are when you get low. Is that right? You find out who's going to stick with you, who really cares about you. If you don't have something to give them, so many people just go right on out the door. But anyway, he hooked up with someone in a town. It says a citizen in the passage, and the passage is in Luke 15. But it says that he hooked up with a citizen, and he went to work for him, because now he had to work for his money. Must have been a novel idea for him, but he ended up out in the fields, and he was assigned to feed the pigs. And so that's what he was doing. And he was so hungry. He was thinking about eating the husks from the pigs' food. Now you would have to be really hungry, but how many of you have been so hungry you just grab the first thing that you see and you just start eating it? Have you ever let yourself get that hungry? But he was out there working. Nobody offered to feed him. Nobody offered him any food either. So he's thinking about eating the pig's food. And then the scripture says that he came to his senses. Or he came to himself. And he began to think about the servants in his father's house and everything they had to eat. And he had this moment where he realized how important his relationship was with his father. And he was ready to go back home. But he had this awakening in his soul. And that's what I wanted to emphasize. Until sometimes we get into a difficult situation or we're having a problem, we're not awakened to the power of God or the potential that He's put inside of us to solve that problem, to get out of that situation. God doesn't wave a magic wand over us But he releases what we need to come up out of that situation. And he opens a door for us that no man can open for us to walk through that door. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. So he found out, he discovered. He came to himself. Have you ever heard someone say, he's just not himself today? That's kind of the way he was. He was not himself. Sometimes as a parent, you look at your children and think, whose children are they? Did they grow up in my house? Did they really hear what we were teaching them? They're not themselves. But as a parent, we're always holding on, hanging in there, knowing that that child's going to come around. Amen? We don't give up. We can't give up, you know. We're the only hope kids have, right? Other people give up on them, but when they're your flesh and blood, you just keep, you keep on praying, working at it, talking to them. But he came to himself. So problems and difficulties, that was a maturing moment for that young man because he realized he needed to go home. So he realized he had to humble himself. He realized he had to repent. And that's often what happens when we're learning to possess our soul. There is a humbling that takes place in our life. And there's a repentance that takes place in our life before the Lord. Forgive me, Lord, that I was impatient. I am to possess my soul with patience, but I pushed ahead of you. I did things my own way, and things didn't turn out. I'm in a mess now. My life is upside down. My finances are upside down. And Lord, I need your help. And he never refuses that. Sometimes we get these thoughts, well, I'm not even going to bother to ask. But God wants us to ask, and you shall receive. So if a lying voice comes to you and tells you don't bother to ask, you've already messed it up too bad. The word says, ask, and you shall receive. What? Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. God has everything that we need, and God has put on the inside of each one of us potential, a seed from the kingdom of heaven. Remember last week we talked about the treasures that are on the inside of us. There are treasures in us. They are from the kingdom of God. There's potential on the inside of us. And it isn't until we get in tough situations that we begin to realize how much potential is in there if we'll allow the Spirit of God to come through us to our soul, to give us our thoughts, to give us a plan, to show us the way so that we can begin to move our bodies in the right direction, to make the right decisions, to accomplish what God designed us for. He has a purpose and a destiny for each one of us. We have to align ourselves with what God wants for us. And it's a continual ordering of our life. This morning, I'm doing a devotion on 21 days of fasting. And this morning, the thought that stuck out to me in that devotion was that we are continually ordering our life. It's not a one-time thing, but it is an hour-by-hour thing. We are ordering our life according to the will of God and what he has planned that day. You might have something planned every moment of the day, but God likes to interrupt our plans to show off through us. Yes, see, he's showing off through us. He's showing the kingdom of God through us. He is showing us what to do, what to say. He doesn't leave us without words. Come on, words have power. Words have power. Words will change someone's life. And a word from the Lord will change your life. A word from your pastor can change your life. A word from your mom can change your life. The words of your parents are probably, many of them, still in your thoughts when you get ready to do something. You think, oh, mama said. Oh, dad told me. Words have power and they live on and on and on. So this morning, the challenge to us is to get into alignment with what God desires for our whole person. But remember, your soul is the pivotal point. So if your soul doesn't come into alignment, then your body isn't either. So God wants us to come into alignment. He's challenging us this morning to commit ourselves to stick with it. Stay with it. Don't give up. You see, if God has spoken something to you and you know it's the word of the Lord, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. We are excited about what God is doing at River of Life Community Church and what He is doing in our River of Life family. God is on the move. He is on the move. Hallelujah. You don't see it in the natural, but you know that you know in your spirit, God is on the move. And God will fulfill what He has spoken over this ministry and over each one of you, because you are the mobilizing force of the vision and the heart of God. As you go out of here, you are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For every person that's here today, Lord, that you're challenging us. I hear the Lord challenging us in many ways, and you're probably hearing for yourself from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit talks to everybody, teaches everybody. A lot of times people will say, I loved it when you said, and I think, I don't remember ever saying that in the message, but you know what? The Holy Spirit was so loud talking to them. That's what they heard, because that's what God wanted them to hear. But God is really challenging us to get into alignment with His will for our lives, to have patience, to possess our mind, will, and emotions with patience. Patience is being willing to wait. Not being like the prodigal son who took what he had and just did what he wanted to do. God's challenging us today to commit our ways unto Him. And He said, I'll establish your path. I'll establish your path. I don't know if some of you know this, but our brother Chase and Susan are going to be moving in about a month. They've committed their life to the Lord, and God has opened up an opportunity. His company wants to move him up to Wisconsin, and so God has opened up that opportunity for them. Well, I don't want them to go. I love them and all their kids. I've watched them grow up. But it's not my choice. So I'm saying that, letting you know, relationship is important at River of Life. We have one more month with Chase and Susan and the kids, and then they're moving. They're heading up to Wisconsin. It just so happens the town they're moving to, there is a CI church up there. So we're thankful for that. They'll have a place that they could at least start with. And they're working on getting their house. But God is making the way for them. They're seeing God prepare the way for them. And we will rejoice with them and cry at the same time, right? Because we will miss them. But it is being willing to commit our ways to the Lord so He can establish our path. He's a good, good Father. Let's all stand this morning. Do we have a closing song, Chance? Okay. Let's have our closing song this morning. I don't think I got past... we didn't get very far in this message this morning. Hallelujah. So to be continued. Learning to possess our soul. In patience possess ye your soul. When you get impatient this week, remember, in patience, I'm to possess my soul. I'm not going to tell them off. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak words of life. Because you know, whatever we speak, it's what comes into existence. So if we're constantly negative and complaining about something, we're reinforcing negativity in the spirit realm. So speak life. You want to see a situation change? You've got to speak life. You want to see your life change? Then speak life. You want to come out of debt? Then begin to say what God's word says about coming out of debt. He says there's no lack in his house. There's no lack in his family. And he said if we need wisdom, we can ask him. He's going to give us wisdom in how to use our money and how to get out of debt. He will help us. Words. Life. They speak life. Will you choose to speak life this week? Will you choose to speak life? In patience, possess your soul.